I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. And we really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
What did I do this week? I went to the Botanic Gardens with my friend Mandy, which is really fun. We've been hanging out a lot, and then I did a yoga class with her a couple times last week. Like, I haven't been feeling, like, energized enough to do my own practice. So I've just been, like, teaching, and it's been a while since I've taken a class. So
it's okay to just recharge.
Yeah. So it was nice to, like, actually, like, take a class instead of teach a class.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that like kind of recharged me a little bit.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah. What did you do?
Because I'm 30, I'm also like, what have I done this week?
30?
Because I'm in my 30s. I've been doing these like lemonade mixes.
Okay.
I've been doing cranberry, blackberry, lemonade kind of situation.
You've been experimenting with some...
Yeah. So that's kind of the extent of what I've been doing, but
okay, I don't know. What's the best one that you've come up with so far?
Honestly, my favorite is just like bare bones, blackberry Izzy, and lemonade. I'm just trying to do something that's not alcohol and like something refreshing because it is...
And kind of summery.
Because it is hot here.
So fucking hot.
Dude. People from like southern states that it's normally hot are like, this is worse.
It's insane. Like, it's too hot. And my air conditioning in my car doesn't work, which is a huge bummer
for me. Oh, God. Yeah, Keith's having that situation too. M Squared is from Florida. And me and him, he took me to get my car. The brakes went out in the back, but they're also out in the front, so I have to get that done eventually. Yeah. No, it's really annoying.
Oh, no.
It sounds really pretty. It's like my car's screaming, and I'm like, wow, it's like a siren, but like not pretty.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fine. But he was, he's from Florida, and he was telling me it's way hotter here than it is in Florida. And he's like, and not only hot, but unbearable.
It's been awful. Yeah. Too hot.
Yeah.
Like, I go outside, and I'm like, I can't.
What was funny was he was driving me to my car from like Arvada to Parker, and I was like, this is the street you would exit to go to my mom's house. I even was like, Danae lives here. I was like just pointing stuff out, and I'm like, that's
tour guide Barbie over here.
Yeah, I was like, and if you want me to stop talking, I'm not going to. This is where I grew up. And he was like, no, it's great, it's so fun. So
it's so cool.
I'm tour guide Barbie. All right, what are you gonna tell me about today?
So today I'm going to tell you about another Colorado case.
Okay.
And
is this
also,
one going to make me feel like throw up? Cause the last week's.
Oh yeah. That was like, one sucked.
Yeah.
This is also from Pueblo though.
Lots going down there.
A lot of, I don't know why like Pueblo is coming up in all my searches, but here we are.
I lived in Pueblo for one semester.
Really? Where did you go?
CSU Pueblo.
Oh, okay.
I went one semester. That should answer any questions you have. And I almost didn't make it through the semester.
Yeah. Pueblo is like 2 hours south of Denver. I don't want to like talk shit on Pueblo, but...
No, it's just... Here's the thing, though. Like, everyone I know from Pueblo loves it because they're from there, and they've even said that, because I told people I didn't like it because I like didn't I didn't venture into it very much, so I didn't know where any cool spots were. So for me, it was like kind of boring. Mm-hmm. But like people from Pueblo love it because they like grew up there and they know all the hot spots, but I never learned them. So
yeah,
my uncle, I told him I went to CSU Pueblo and he just looked at me as like, couldn't handle it. I was like, no. And he was like, I get it. And I'm like, okay. I was like, it just
not your vibe.
Yeah, it wasn't my vibe. So
yeah. Okay, so we're going to 2013.
Okay.
February 4th, 2013. 21-year-old Kelsey Schelling was 8 weeks pregnant when she went missing after meeting up with her on-again, off-again boyfriend slash father of her unborn child, Dante Lucas.
Don't love that.
So, Kelsey grew up in Holyoke, Colorado, which is a small farming town, like, in the northeast corner of Colorado.
So, like, Greeley-ish area, possibly? Sterling, maybe?
It's called Holyoke.
I'm trying to think of what it's near.
I don't know. But it's a small, small farming town.
Yeah.
So, she was described as active, sporty, outdoorsy. People said she was super fun. She was kind of feisty. Outgoing, bubbly, and very friendly. She was prom queen senior year. Ooh. And she was liked by everyone. Like, she just was a really wonderful person.
Aww.
So after high school, she went to Northeastern Junior College in Sterling, Colorado. And she wanted to work with children. She was aiming to get her degree in psychology. So if that says anything, I think it's like you're just a very kind-hearted person if you want to work with children.
You care about people.
Yeah. In 2010, she met a 6'7 basketball player named Dante Lucas. He was going to the same junior college as her. And she had like gone to a basketball game with some of her girlfriends. And they were like, ooh, who are the cute boys? And she met Dante. They kind of started dating. People described him as having a good attitude. He was a great athlete. He was very popular. And he was from Pueblo. And so his goal was to basically, like, make it in the NBA and, like, get out of Pueblo. Like, get out of small town Colorado.
Yeah, exactly.
So Kelsey and Dante spent a lot of time together, as you do.
I wonder why he went to that school, because it is really far from Pueblo.
I don't know.
Like, almost opposite sides of the state. I think
it
was,
I think they said that he got, it had to do with basketball. Like, he got recruited or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. I guess that makes total sense. So I was just like, wait, those are pretty far. Yeah,
I think it was like, it's something to do with his basketball career. So Kelsey and Dante spent a lot of time together, as you do with your college boyfriend. But apparently he, like, wasn't ready to commit, and she loved him with all her heart. So she was very forgiving. He would, like, treat her badly.
So as in, like, he didn't want to be her boyfriend? Like, he didn't want to, oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean commit? Yeah. That's annoying.
Yeah.
We've all had that where you're like, I'm not your girlfriend, but we spend every minute together. Like, what are we?
It's like, we're obviously mutually, like,
exclusive.
Except for that now, like, when it comes down to it, it's, like, only when it's, like, convenient, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you're the only one, but, like, really.
Every single guy, when I was like, let's put a label on it, and they're like, no, we're seeing someone else, like, on the side or whatever. Yeah. So. That sucks.
Yeah, she just, like, loved him so much and was very, like, oh, you know, he would do something that wasn't the best, and then she'd be like, oh, well, he's changed and things would be good, and then
have we all been there?
Yeah, it's like classic college shit.
That sucks, but yeah.
Just like wasn't as into her as she was into him, and it kind of broke her heart. And some accounts even said that it was like a tumultuous relationship. And that there had been times where he had, like, put his hands on her and, like, pushed her.
Yikes.
I don't know exactly if that's correct or whatever, but,
it,
like,
was just accounts that
there
were
some accounts that
whispered
said that
around.
So, after 2 years at Northeastern Junior College, both Kelsey and Dante went their separate ways. He moved back home to Pueblo. She moved to California.
Oh.
But she couldn't really afford it.
Yeah.
So
high cost of living.
Yeah, and when you're like that young, you're not making like that good of money. So
when I first went out on my own, it was in 2014, so it was around kind of that time, and it was like really expensive.
Yeah, so she ended up moving back to Colorado after like 6 months. She got a good job at Floor and Decor and was living in Denver.
Floor and Decor.
Right? Great store. So when she moved back, she reconnected with Dante and they, in her words, got back together. So, but they were kind of doing, you know, long distancing because she's in Denver, he's in Pueblo. That's like a 2-hour drive. Like, yeah. It's not close.
No.
So over the holidays in 2012, Kelsey was ecstatic to share with her parents, Doug Schelling and Laura Saxton, different last names because they're divorced, that she was pregnant. So she was super happy. She was excited to be a mom. But on the other hand, she was also like really stressed out because Dante did not take the news very well.
Yeah.
He was the father. That was the only person she was with. And when she told him, he was mad. Her friend said he was not happy about it. He was like pissed off, which sparked a whole bunch of fights where it's like, do you want to be part of this child's life? And he's basically like, no. And she wants that. Like, she loves him.
Yeah.
And she wants him to be, you know, she wants to be the happy little family. And he's like, goodbye. No. So that part was stressful. And she was kind of worried about it. But her family reassured her. They're like, everything will be fine. Like, even if he decides he doesn't want anything to do with this child's life,
the child's going to be loved.
It's going to be so loved. We're going to support you.
Yeah.
Like, this will be a good thing.
Yeah.
So regardless of if he's in the life of your child or not, you will be okay.
Everything you've told make it work. Me, like the fact that he didn't even want to commit, I was like, he's not going to be excited about this child.
Oh, no. And it's very telling, like, when you tell your partner that you're pregnant, like, how they react.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I could see how that would be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, she had her first ultrasound, and everything was healthy. The docs were excited. They were like, you're doing great. Baby's healthy. Heartbeat. Everything is going accordingly.
Yeah.
She got her ultrasound, little, you know, the little picture. And her due date, which was September 13th. So basically she wanted to like share this information with Dante, like show him the ultrasound. And like she basically wanted him to be excited with her.
So
he just wasn't.
He didn't go to the appointment with her?
No.
Well, I mean, no, I like,
yeah,
right, no, when that came out of my mouth. Not. But like that
he was in sucks. Pueblo, she was in Denver, and he definitely did not. He wasn't about it.
I'm sorry if you can hear thunder and lightning, by the way.
Okay. So they obviously were like texting a lot because like, you know, long distance.
Yeah.
And after the initial news and his terrible reaction, he seemed to flip-flop. So now he's like texting her and he's like, hey, I really want you to come down to Pueblo. I've got a surprise for you. Like, I'm excited. You know,
we're
going to work
this
out. It's going to be fine. And at first she was like, no, because she was still hurt that he like was mad about her getting pregnant.
Wouldn't you also be suspicious that they flip-flopped this hard?
Yeah. So she was like, no, I'm not coming to see you. Like, fuck you, basically. Which leads to a fight. And then basically she was like, you have no obligation to me and this baby. You know, like, have a nice life, basically. And he was like, oh, I know that. Like, I know I don't have an obligation to you. Like,
it takes two to tango.
Yeah. So things are not sounding good.
No, all of this sounds bad.
Yeah. But after a couple hours, it seems like things kind of cooled off a little bit. And he's like, still trying to convince her to come down to Pueblo. He's like, just ditch work and come down and see me. Like,
no, that's not how this works.
Yeah. And then he said, I want to give you this. You probably won't believe me if I tell you what it is. So you need to like come find out for yourself, basically.
Was it a murder?
So in her mind, though, she's like,
maybe it's a ring.
Yeah. She's like, he's finally going to commit. Like, you know, best case scenario, it's a ring.
I think and at 21, course, I would have been like, oh my God, he flip-flopped because he loves me. Exactly. Not, you know, I'm saying and this for my 36-year-old brain. And she wants to believe it. Like, she loves him. Yeah, 100%.
So she's still like, no, I'm not going to ditch work, but fine. I'll drive down there once my shift is over. So she drove the 2 hours south. And she got off at like 9:30 or something.
Yeah, I was about to say, did she have a closing shift?
Yeah, it was like a late shift. Or closing shift, whatever. So she ends up driving down there. He's like, okay, meet me at this Walmart. And she's like, okay. So she parks there. She's in the parking lot. It's like 10:20. She's texting him. She's like, I'm here. Hello. Where are you? And she's waiting and she's waiting. And then he's like, okay, change of plans at like 11:10 p.m. after she's been waiting for like a fucking hour. He's like, okay, meet me in my grandma's neighborhood, actually. Like, come over to this residential area and meet me here.
Did you ever have a guy try to get you to meet him at, like, a store or something? Like, because, like, why isn't she coming to his house?
I don't know. Because he lives with his grandma. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want her to go over there. I have no idea what his reasoning is. But she's like, fine, whatever. So then she goes over there. And she's waiting and she's waiting. And now it's, like, 10:30. And she's like, hello, like, I drove all the way down here. What are you doing? I'm like, waiting here for you.
Yeah.
You said you had a surprise for me. What the fuck?
You said it had to be tonight.
That was her last text message that she sent to him. Now, February 5th.
To him or in general?
To him.
Okay.
February 5th, she doesn't show up for work. Her coworker is worried because this is very unusual.
Really quick question. So he expected her, to drive down there 2 hours, come get whatever this thing was, turn around and go to work the next day?
I guess. Yeah.
Ew, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's already late.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so like, yeah.
Because I was like, well, she didn't work the next day. Like, she'd stay the night. Also, like, if they're having a baby, all of this is just like, what?
Yeah. So she doesn't show up for work. Her coworker's like, calling her, no answer. But then she gets a text from Kelsey that's like, oh, I'm at the hospital. I'm getting tests done. Turns out I'm not having a baby anymore. And it was growing in the wrong place.
So an ectopic pregnancy?
I don't know. And so meanwhile, her family's calling her. Her friends are calling her. Calling, no answer. Eventually, it just starts going to voicemail.
Did she, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, did she tell anyone she was going to see Dante?
I think she had told her mom.
Okay.
So friends and family, they're not getting callbacks, but they're getting texts. And they're like short, quick, like curt responses that don't sound like her. Like, we all know how our friends, how our family, like, you all, everyone has like a certain style of texting and certain things that they abbreviate, certain things that they like.
I think you would know if I like, if you hadn't heard from me and I was texting you, I feel like you'd be like, this doesn't sound like Kim at all.
Yeah. So her family and friends are like, this doesn't even sound like her. She would usually use like full sentences. She used punctuation in her text messages.
Oh, that's huge. Like, cause I do that too.
Yeah.
And I think if that wasn't, or if I was shortening things, you'd be like, this is not
this
Kim.
This is not who this person is. Yeah. So they're like weird. By February 9th, all of Kelsey's friends reach out to her parents and they're like, we're super worried. Like, we've been trying to reach her for days. She hasn't replied. All we're getting are these like weird short text messages
that don't sound like her.
Don't sound like her. And her family was like, okay, same. And they're like, now everyone's freaking out because everyone is kind of like, okay, none of us have heard her like on the phone.
It sounds like she's responsive is what this is sounding like.
So they went to the Denver apartment, and obviously there's no sign of her.
Yeah.
And they called the Denver Police Department and they're like frantic at this point.
And how many days or like what day is this? Because you said
this is February 9th.
Okay. So 5 days after like her last sighting.
Yeah. And so they reported her missing and basically like they're just all freaking out. So her mom, Laura Saxton, called Dante and she's like, okay, so she was driving to your house. Like,
where
did
she
get there? Did you see the ultrasound? Like, what's going on? Like, have you heard from her? Did she leave? Did, you know, like,
what's going on?
What's going on? And he's like, oh, I haven't heard from her. And he's like, but if I do, like, I'll let you know. Like, he's like casual about this while she's like on the phone, frantic, freaking out. This is the mother of your unborn child and a person that you've known for, at this point, a few years and have been, like, romantically involved with on and off.
But didn't she tell... I'm not excusing what he said. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind. But didn't she tell her parents that he, like, didn't want to really be involved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sure they weren't that shocked to get his, like, I guess...
Yeah. But okay. They were also like, okay, but, you were the last person to see her. Like, he didn't seem worried at all that, like, she hadn't made it back home. Which is also concerning, because even if you, you know, didn't want to have this baby and you had feelings about it or whatever the fuck, wouldn't you still be worried that this person is missing? Like, you know her. You have had, like, a romantic relationship with her and you're just like,
this isn't some girl you just met, like, at the club the night before.
So police realize he's the last one to have seen her and heard from her. And so they, like, at this point, because they had reported her missing to Denver Police Department, they're like, okay, well, it needs to go to Pueblo because he lives in Pueblo. That's where she was last seen. And he's, like, our first person that we need to interview.
Both kind of be,
I guess they basically passed it off to Pueblo because, like, Denver PD is not going to drive the 2 hours to, like,
interrogate him. I was just wondering if, like, they had an open report in Denver and kept it open just in case.
Oh, like, yeah, something... of course. But they were like, this is a you situation.
Okay. I was like, please tell me they didn't just say, nope, sorry.
So Pueblo police, they tried to, like, get Dante to open up. So they were like, they didn't approach him like, hey, you're our suspect. They were like, hey, like, you're the last person that saw her. She was going to
see you, so help us help you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they weren't trying to, like, come in, like, guns blazing and be like,
well, that's how you. That's how you immediately get someone to shut down.
They're trying to, like, build rapport. And so they just didn't want to spook him and make it seem like he was a suspect, even though he was, like, the number one suspect.
Well, I mean, the romantic partner, if you have a brain, you're going to figure that out.
Yeah, he's mad like that you're that pregnant something and happened you go to see Keith, him and I now she's missing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, wow, I'm a suspect. It's like, yes.
Duh.
1,000,000%.
So on February 12th, they brought him in for questioning. He immediately denied a romantic relationship with Kelsey. He, in his words, said, we were never in a relationship.
Oh, so he's one of that.
Sorry.
Just because I tell you I love you and you've met my family and we're in love, don't mean it a relationship. Like,
shut the fuck up. So he says that she slept in her car that night and then he brought her to a medical center where she supposedly, like,
what is with these men who
had a miscarriage?
What is with these men who are okay with their woman sleeping in a car? Yeah. I'm talking about someone I know in real life, too.
Had a miscarriage, apparently. And then he's like, even though, like, literally the day before, she had gotten an ultrasound and got the, like, you know, clean bill of health from her doctor being like, baby's healthy, you're healthy, everything's great, see you next visit.
Also, miscarriages aren't like, oh no, I had a miscarriage. You can bleed and still be pregnant.
Yeah.
And you can also, like,
but it's literally like a 24-hour turnaround that he's trying to be like, and then she had a miscarriage.
That's not how it works at all.
So, and then he's just kind of like, his story changes a whole bunch. Details change. Nothing's the same. And so then they, like, follow up with this said medical center that he, like, dropped her off at or whatever. And, like, medical centers have fucking records of literally everyone who comes into their office.
Yeah.
Like, duh. It's, like, your chart. You know, they have to keep track of these things for a variety of reasons. Not only for your health and stuff, but also to, like, keep track of, like, this medicine was administered or, like, we treated this person in this way.
Especially, like, with pregnancy, because they need to make sure, like, everything's on the up and up.
Every single person that goes into, like, a hospital is logged. Like, you can't just, like, go into a hospital and they don't, like, have any record of you being there.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, it's definitely, there's no record of her, nothing about her. We've got nothing. So they just kind of keep that in their back pocket for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he said he dropped her like back at Walmart after their hospital visit on February 5th.
Here's the thing. He's not even sounding like a good person. Like, no. He's just sounding no. Like, because I know he's probably like, yeah, I wasn't involved. But you're also making yourself just sound like shit. Like, you just yeah. dropped
you
her
just
off.
You just dropped her off to have a miscarriage and then picked her up and were like, okay, bye. See you later. Go
yeah,
home.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he's lying. I don't know this story.
Yeah.
But, like, you're also making yourself sound shitty, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even doing yourself any favors. No. You're like, so she had this miscarriage, and I was like, deal with it.
Bye.
And yeah. That's not even how miscarriages work.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyways, the surveillance from Walmart, the parking lot, shows a man driving her car into the lot and then hours later driving it back out of the lot. One man, not a man and a woman, one man drives it to Walmart, drives it away from Walmart. Like,
how good is the camera footage? Because that's surprising. Like, I mean, sometimes, you know, the camera footage, you're like,
they couldn't like specifically tell that it was him, but they could tell it was a man.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, he's also super tall. So
he's
not
also
like
trying to like paint this picture of her like, oh, you know, she's really troubled. She used drugs. She was suicidal. And like, there had been a point when her parents had divorced when she was like 15, that she was like kind of going through it. And she
understandably
had
so
taken like extra of her antidepressants and basically was like had an attempt and was in a coma for like a couple days. But keep in mind, that was when she's 15.
I was about to say, but that was like years before.
She's 21 now, and she's also like super excited to be a mom.
Yeah.
So like, she really has
no, look at her history. She was working with kids, like wanting to, and then now she's having a child. Like, that would be,
she's got a steady job,
that doesn't say
she's got an apartment.
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't yeah. screaming
so he's
somebody
trying
who's
to be like, oh, she yeah. she's just so troubled and like alluded to her past, and her parents are like, yeah, that did happen, but like, at this point in her life, that is not like,
that wasn't last year,
how she is. Yeah. Like, she's very excited to be alive, she's making plans, like, there's no way she would kill herself. Like, she was so excited to become a mom.
Yeah.
And so, and also, if she had committed suicide, where's her body?
Bodies don't just disappear. It's not a video game.
We'd find it.
Yeah.
So there's still no body. And her car was missing. So by Valentine's Day, her car was found at St. Mary Corwin Medical Center. But no signs of Kelsey.
Do you know how far this is from the Walmart that they were?
I just know it's in the same town.
Okay.
And there's no security footage, like, at this medical center.
Oh, that sucks.
Or at least at, like, where her
Clearly,
car was.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't know who dropped that car off. Was it Kelsey? Was it someone else? We don't know. So police are like, okay, well,
let's make sure she's not in the hospital.
So she didn't commit suicide, we're thinking. And if she just decided to, like, up and leave, she would need her car. So that's, like, kind of strange.
Yeah.
And then as they're investigating, they notice that there was a $400 withdrawal from Kelsey's bank account.
So not only, I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun. So not only did he probably murder her, but he also stole from her.
So they're like, okay, so maybe this could be a lead if she did randomly leave somewhere, like maybe she needed some money, you know, like
cost more than $400, but
yeah. But so they look into it, and they look into like which ATM it was, and they look for the surveillance video. So they see Dante driving Kelsey's car through the ATM, using her card, withdrawing the money. Kelsey is not in the car.
Yeah, no, right when you told me the ATM, I was like, they always have footage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, so if anyone's like, that's not true, okay, well, I've heard that, like, if the camera is disabled, you can't pull money from it because they need to, like, be sure of, like, who's withdrawing
who's
it.
Taking
so
money, yeah.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true, but, like, I hope that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. But so, they're like, hey, so what's that about? And he was like, oh, well,
she like, wanted me to
she said that I could use her card and it was for my phone bill. I'm like, phone bill? Why is your phone bill $400? Like, that seems insane.
My phone bill is even,
it's like $50.
Yeah, I think it's like 150 for like Keith and I.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like, okay.
Sounds fake.
So where's Kelsey then? And he's like, oh, that, I don't know. My timeline's getting jumbled. That was probably when I like dropped her at the hospital. Okay. Right, right, right. The hospital that has no record of her.
And
sure, sure, sure.
And your timeline's just not making any sense. Typically, when you're having a miscarriage, also, they don't just say, well, goodbye. Typically, I don't know. I'm sure some people.
But, like, it doesn't, none of it makes sense.
No, no.
So then they're like, KKK, well, remember how you said that she went to this so-called hospital? Well, we checked with that place, and turns out they have no record of her. And he's like, like, he has nothing to say that can, like, excuse it. Like, he's got nothing. He's drawing a blank. His story's changing all over the place. He's like, you guys are confusing me. You're asking me lots of questions.
No, we're not. We're just asking you questions. And if it actually happened, it should be pretty damn easy to answer. Yeah.
And so then at this point, he asked for a lawyer. All questioning.
Probably should have done it sooner, but.
So on February 15th, they arrested him. They had no evidence linking him to Kelsey's disappearance, but they arrested him for felony ID theft for using her bank card.
I was about to say, it's probably the bank card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, charges were dropped when they found out that Kelsey in the past had in fact given her permission to use her card. So they were kind of like, well, we don't know in this particular instance if she gave him permission to use her card, but in the past she had. And had given him her, like, her PIN and whatever. I hate
that she did that.
Yeah. Because
you know he probably wouldn't have done that for her.
Oh, no. No. So, he's released. He's obviously still a person of interest. He's definitely suspected for foul play, but they can't get him to talk again. And they literally have no evidence linking him to it.
Other than, like, the video footage. But. Yeah.
So, then they speak to his mom. And she basically gives him an alibi for February 6th.
Gross.
She's like, he was home with me. And also, like, I know my son. He's not capable of hurting anyone. There's no way he would do anything like this. Like, whatever, whatever. So again, no body, no direct evidence. They've got nothing. So the family.
And unfortunately, you can't arrest somebody on a hunch.
Yeah. Like,
you have to have it, something concrete. Like, the way he was talking, like, there is a lot there that, like, it's right. He's rightfully the person like of interest, but unfortunately.
Yeah. We can't just, like, arrest people because we think that they did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Kelsey's family was, you know, obviously frustrated. They're like.
Of course. They're like, we know who did it. Like, yeah.
You guys seem to be doing a better job, but they can't really do a better job because they've got nothing to go off of. So, her family was really good. Mostly her mom was like a really good advocate. She, you know, gathered huge volunteer groups yearly and would scour areas of Pueblo just looking for like anything
sign of her
that could give them a lead.
I forget how frustrating it was that they don't have her body.
Yeah. And they never found anything. They would like do justice walks where they were trying to put pressure on the Pueblo Police Department to, you know, do more.
Do like, something.
Do something. They need answers, right?
Like, yeah.
Their daughter's just missing into thin air. So they put up a $50,000 reward for info, but nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
And they had like a Facebook page and like all this stuff, and like they would get tips, but like
nothing concrete
that was ever found to be real.
Yeah.
So spring of 2016, we're a few years
out. Oh my God, 3 years later?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
So single mom Lauren Shore saw the episode of 2020 that was about Kelsey Schelling, and her heart just like ached for Kelsey's family. She's like, I'm a mom. I can't ever like imagine just like not having answers. Like, this is so messed up. And she lived in Pueblo. So she's like, this is like kind of close to like, you know,
home.
Like literally in my town. So she's like, I just got a crazy idea. And she's like, what I'm going to do is befriend Dante Lucas, who was still living in Pueblo, and just like try and get close to him and see if I can find out some
info. I know this story and I love it.
So she's like, I don't know. She just like decides she's going to do this. And she's like, I can fucking do it. She was like a little bit scared, but she was also like, but I got this.
When you are determined, forget about it.
I love that she's like, let me take this over.
Yeah.
So she reached out to Dante on good old Facebook and she introduced herself and she's like, hey, like I just moved to the Pueblo area, trying to meet new friends. Like that was her opener. And he quickly replied. They chatted a little bit and then eventually made plans to meet up. So they went to a basketball court to shoot some hoops. And ABC actually showed up with cameras that day and confronted him about Kelsey Schelling. Because like after the 2020 episode, it started to get a little bit more like amped up, I guess. Like people were like remembering.
Well, how many videos do we pressure. See of them? Yeah.
So like they show up and they're like, you know, what did you do to Kelsey? Like, do you know anything about her disappearance? Like you guys were dating, she was pregnant, yada yada yada. And Lauren is actually in this video and you can see her being like, what the hell, who's Kelsey? Like she's got to like play dumb, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, like, don't worry about it. Like, I'll tell you later. Like, I had nothing to do with this, all this stuff, whatever. So,
lying liar.
Yes. Lauren got him to trust her and they became closer. And eventually they kind of became romantically involved. He would always tense up.
How did she do that?
And get super stressed when any news about Kelsey came up on the TV. Like, he would always, like, get visibly, like, stressed.
Yeah.
And then she'd, like, ask him about it, like, what's going on, babe? Like, are you okay?
Oh, my God.
And he would be like, I had nothing to do with this, blah, blah, blah. But then he would, like, hysterically cry about it. And she's like, okay, so we got to work on this. Okay. We're slowly getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So Lauren said that he, like, had this way about him where he could make you feel, like, so sorry for him. Like, he's a good manipulator.
So he's also a victim complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she always kept it in, you know, the back of her head. She's like, this guy could be a killer. So she kept to her mission. She was never, like, as much as she, like, acted like, you know, she was mutually romantic with him, she was, like, still, like, on her mission. Like, she's trying to, like, get intel from him. So
that'd be so hard to be like, let's kiss.
Yeah. So, basically, she didn't allow herself to catch feelings because she was like, no, I've got a job to do.
I've seen what he can do to women, probably.
And he genuinely, like, fell in love with her. So much so that he proposed. And at this point, she's like, oh, shit.
Damn,
like,
she should get an Academy Award.
I am in over my head and still don't have, like, any real truth as to what happened to Kelsey. Like, he hasn't, like, openly admitted that he killed her. He's only told her, like, bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah.
So the Colorado Bureau of Investigation ends up joining the cold case in 2017. So they kind of like join forces with Pueblo Police Department. They're like, we're considering this a homicide. Like, yeah. That's how we're proceeding. This is not
you guys
just
are
a
not doing a good
missing
job.
Person. Like, this is a homicide. And so once they get involved, they're like doing some research on Dante and where he's at now and what's going on. And they realize like, oh, this is his fiance. So they contact Lauren Shurer and they're like, what's the deal?
She's like, baby girl, she's I'm like, on your side.
You guys. She's like, guess what? Dante admitted that he was the man in the Walmart video. And he had dropped Kelsey's car off at the St. Mary Corwin Medical Center, where it was later found. So this is huge because it had originally just been some unidentified guy.
But wait, how long did she know this and she didn't say this to anyone else? Or was she just gathering more?
She was trying to get the whole story.
Okay, okay.
Like, her ultimate goal was to have him tell her that he killed Kelsey.
Yeah.
But at this point, she hadn't got there yet with him. Like, he hadn't said that to her.
Yeah.
So she's telling them what she knows. She's like, this is what I've got. And they're like, okay, well, that's huge because this was just, like, in the footage, it was just some unidentified man. Like, we didn't know. And then he had the alibi from his mom.
Well, I'm sure they kind of
saying
knew,
she
though.
Was home.
Yeah.
Or he was home. So now they're like, well, now we know he has said this. So then they...
Where is Kelsey?
Yeah. So they're like, okay, cool, cool, cool. This is amazing. So now his alibi is no longer valid. Whatever, whatever. Then in late 2017, a Pueblo man tells police that Dante had attacked him and stolen $1,000 from him. So they're like, great, let's arrest him. But Dante was on his way to DIA to go to Tucson, Arizona. And
sorry, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. And sources say that perhaps his intention was to go from Tucson to and then to Mexico to, like, flee. But they arrested him before his flight for aggravated robbery. So now they've got him and they're like, this is our opportunity to dive deeper into Kelsey.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Lauren.
He finally admitted to investigators that it was him in the Walmart parking lot video. Because they were like, yeah, we've got sources that say it was you. And he's like, okay, it was me. So they got a warrant for his phone records. Text messages were taken from his phone. Those were used as evidence showing intent for Kelsey's murder. During trial, prosecutors called Ryan Rivera, who testified that when he was in jail with Dante, Dante claimed that investigators would never find Kelsey's body and that they would never convict him. So they had this, like, testimony in court from someone else who was in jail with him being like, yeah, he was, like, basically bragging about it.
Let's be so real. Don't say anything in jail.
Yeah.
Because people will snitch on you, so they get lighter sentences.
They're criminals.
Yeah. You think they're your friend? They're not.
So Dante Lucas was found guilty of first-degree murder in March of 2021 without a body.
Okay.
He was sentenced to life without parole and is currently serving out his sentence at the Lyman Correctional Facility in Lincoln County, Colorado. Kelsey's body still has yet to be found.
And I'm sure he's not telling them where it is. Have they scoured his mom's house?
They did. Yeah. Okay. Because there were tips that came in that were like, or it was his grandma's house, I think, that they were like, oh, she was buried in the backyard. And so they got a warrant and they searched, but nothing ever came of it.
So fun little fact about Pueblo is it's vast, vast desert.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he just like buried her in a shallow grave somewhere in the random desert.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
That's awful.
So... her mother, Laura Saxton, said, I'm never going to recover without getting her back.
Yeah.
I still have nowhere to take her flowers, to go sit and talk with her, take her balloons on her birthday, go to her on holidays. I have nothing. Oh. Dante took that away from me.
What a dick. Just tell them where the body is. You're in prison.
For life.
Like, you're not going anywhere. No. So why can't you just...
like, give them some peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story of how a woman went missing and then, you know, women
helping women.
Lauren decided to date this man. And
hey, guys, we're girls here, so we support it. Love that. Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. Thank God for her.
Yeah.
So.
That little piece of evidence about him admitting
at least that he they were able there. To convict him so he yeah. can't hurt anyone else.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like sad too, because it's like not only did you kill this woman that you had romantic relationships with, but you like killed your unborn child with her.
And also
like how awful.
And he was getting just off easy too. Live. Yeah, she like, didn't even want child support or anything from you.
And like even if she did, it's like,
well, sure, he's obligated to pay it, but you know what I mean? Like, it just sounded like she was just going to live.
She was
going
to kind of be like, you know, happy to be a mom, raise this child with or without you. And like, I don't know. It's just so sad.
It's so gross. It's super gross.
Yeah.
Well, we'll post pictures, and that's going to be on our Instagram, Mysterious Mavens Pod, just on Instagram. We also are blue check verified. So. Yeah.
Kind of legit.
Not gonna brag about it, but to brag about it, well, then you actually know, like, it's our actual,
it is us. Yeah,
yeah, it is us.
Yeah, we'll post those pictures at Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram, and then if you want to, I don't know, check in, say hi, send us some suggestions,
we love suggestions. Know.
let us know your thoughts.
Guys, it's harder than it seems to figure out what story to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm often just sitting there all stressed out, like, what story do I do?
Yeah. So you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We're also on TikTok and Facebook. And also, please rate us. It helps us out.
Yeah.
Rate us 5 stars,
five
please.
5 stars.
5 stars.
And then share with all your friends yeah. and your neighbors and your teachers.
So we can all be besties.
Literally, whoever will listen to you talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Okay. Well, self-care yourself.
Self-care yourself. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.